Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Brizola, and I'm wondering what happened to my theme here. Anyway, this is June 1st, interesting month, 2010, and it's an interesting history today. Of course, we're all concerned about Greece and if the old Mr. O is going to try to bail them out. Hopefully not. They made their mess. They made their bed. Let them sleep in it alone. There's a lot of people's feelings. Interesting, some things that tie in, some events today on June 1st in history that tie into some events and some policies and some things today. First, our military thing. In 1812, President Jamie Madison had one of the most intelligent, brilliant, vivacious wives, whoever was in the White House, that's Dolly, who saved George Washington's portrait. And she has said that she had more spunk than a lot of the men at the time. Anyway, he has Congress declare war on the British, the War of 1812. A year later, in 1813, Captain Lawrence uttered, as he was dying or was wounded, the famous statement, "Don't give up the ship." And that's been one of the mottos of our U.S. Navy. And then, of interest today, because we're all concerned about voter fraud, in 1831, Edison invented the electronic voting machine. And, of course, we got people today who want to try to manipulate the voting results via computer. And, of course, things have moved on, what I call the latest phase of the Gutenberg Revolution. And in talking about publications, the right of dissemination of information, in 1942, the Jews who were fighting, and Polish Jews and their allies who were fighting in Warsaw, published the first accounts of the concentration camps in Nazi-occupied Poland and so Auschwitz, Belsen, all those awful places, Sachhausen. And, of course, the Allies and the world didn't believe it. And it took two brave young escapees from the camps, I think from Auschwitz, who tried to persuade the Jews in Budapest that these things were happening and it was going to get worse in there next. And it's just unbelievable. And, of course, one of the scandals that we have today is how did people like Lantos, Soros escape Eichmann. We understand that there were Jews who sold out other Jews and rabbis who sold out their congregations, and of course they were next. And it's just awful the things that went on, and of course it's just something that we have to think about today, because what would we do if we were in a similar situation with our lives as opposed to saving other people? And we might go in their place. And, of course, in 1941, the Nazis suppressed all Catholic publications in Germany. And, of course, the controversy has arisen about the second German to be elected Pope Benedict. He was 14 at the time, and toward the end of the war in 1944, he served in an anti-aircraft unit, and then he went to a theological college and became a priest. And of the interesting birthdays today, I'm getting to that in a sec, we have one of my favorite characters, the Reverend Ike. He was a black minister. He died last year, and he had some interesting statements, and he wasn't a hypocrite about acquiring wealth. I don't know where he got this name. He claimed his name was Frederick Eichentoller, or the Reverend Ike, and he died in 2009. And he was a black media minister, and we have these types today. We have Jesse Jackson, we have Al Sharpton, we have Cecil Williams, and they're not wearing clothes off the rack or from the thrift store. They live quite well. The black minister here in San Francisco, two of them, Cecil Williams and Amos Brown. Amos Brown's got pedophile judgments. in the amount of over $250,000. And that's for just the little girls. We don't know if the Ethiopian boys or Somali boys were molested in one of his projects. There are allegations about that, and they're still examining that. But these guys live quite well, but Reverend Ike didn't make any bones, didn't make any pretensions about acquiring wealth. Here's some of his interesting statements. The lack of money is the root of all evil. And then he said about the poor. He was a media minister. This is interesting. Quite a charmer and a bit of a scoundrel. The best thing you can do for the poor is not be one of them. This is another one of them, one of his statements, his quotations. And then forget about that pie in the sky. Get yours here and now. And he did. And then about turning the temple into a den of thieves, he said this didn't violate any zoning laws. And then he said if it was difficult for a rich man to get into heaven, a poor man couldn't because he couldn't bribe the gatekeeper. And then, what was the other one? Several others, but we won't get into them. But it's interesting. Here was a rogue, a scoundrel, but at least he didn't BS people. And, of course, you got to look at him and say, well, this is outrageous. It's funny, but it's unfortunately true. Now, I'm going to bring this up again. We keep hearing from the conservative talk show host that there's going to be a tidal wave of resentment at the polls in November, the first Tuesday. Well, if you don't do anything about monitoring, detecting, destroying, and preventing vote fraud now, on the Wednesday after the second Tuesday or the first Tuesday in November, you're going to ask how the hell it happened. Because a lot of these political flotsam of these recycled politicians are going to be recycled back into office. And then you're going to get frustrated and then drop out of the fight for what I call reformation, renaissance, and reform. That's what this country needs, and that's one of our models, that San Francisco, California, and the country is ready for renaissance, renewal, and reform. Forget this blather about change. All they did, this administration did, was change the positions, not the faces. You see the same people doing the same thing, as Wellington used to say at the Battle of, he said at the Battle of Waterloo, which is the date's coming up, the anniversary, is they're coming at us in the same old way, and we have to deal with them in the same old way. Well, you don't. What we have to do is this time be ahead of the curve. Be aware that the vote fraud has been done in the past. That's how these people got into office. And when they're in office, people forget this, that they control the money that's coming into their cities, their states, and their counties, and they distribute it to their friends, themselves, their family, and it's truly trickle-down economics, and the people at the bottom are lucky to get a drop. So don't complain, don't, pee and moan. Stand up, speak out, stand firm. The voting rights are the most important thing that distinguishes us from them, the people who live in the countries where vote fraud is rampant, where people are intimidated forcibly from voting or voting for the party in power or who the intimidators want you to vote for. The other important thing is people don't realize that one of the reasons, and this I think this is credible, this is a credible theory of ours, that one of the reasons they want these illegals to come into this country and to stay in this country is that the Democratic Party is a dying political machine. They've got to resuscitate it. How do they resuscitate it? It's getting these illegals registering to vote, and they have done that, providing them with affordable housing, jobs, health care, all the rest, and they will be eternally grateful. And remember, those of you who have immigrant grandfathers and great-grandfathers and grandmothers, when they came to the United States, legally or illegally, most of them, I think, I would say, excuse me, were legal, came to New York, San Francisco, Boston. What happened? When they went into the tenements, the cold water flats, when their sons and daughters got into trouble with the police, the precinct captain help them to get out of trouble. When they had no coal to heat their tenement apartment, he provided buckets of coal. When they had no turkey for the holidays or chicken, he provided that. And, of course, he expected in return their vote at the polls and expected them to vote for the party that he dictated that they should vote for, and it was Republicans as well as Democrats. So this is our theory, that this is what's really behind this ignoring the illegal aliens who are in this country, because we've seen them being registered to vote and voting absentee here in California. And during the Gore-Bush last presidential election, we had what we call the Macarena Express. They registered these illegals down in Los Angeles and Southern California, put them on buses provided by, we believe, the Acorn and the Saul Alinsky people, bused them up to Northern California, registered them to vote, and then they voted absentee, and then they disappeared, I assume, with money in their pocket. And also, there was a huge expenditure, I think from Acorn, I've got the document, we have the document, where they used Greyhound bus fares. They gave them bus tickets to travel around the country. So it's happened then. They've had time to perfect the fraud now. So be aware, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance can hurt, harm, and cost you. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you, and it will. So wake up, stand up, speak out, stand firm, and don't let them be intimidated. Voting rolls are public information. You can't have a Social Security number. Excuse me, my head, please, slipped. I'm still getting over this cold, but we're going to keep on fighting because it's really important that we protect the voting franchise. You know, in Greece, about 40 years ago, they had the revolt of the colonels. They kicked out the King Constantine. And, of course, it's those of you who watched the opening of Parliament on C-SPAN, that Prince Philip is actually, well, all the houses of Europe were populated by the descendants and the children of Queen Victoria and Prince Albert, the royal stud. And the Greek royal family, Greece was occupied by the Turks for centuries. And some fascinating stories about how the Greeks were, in effect, sodomized by the Turks. There's a story about Aristotle Onassis, very interesting, his relationship with a Turkish military officer and who apparently raped him. But anyway, remember about 40, 50 years ago, after World War II, the Greeks got into what they were called the Golden Greeks. They got into the shipping industry, and of course Aristotle Onassis, even after the Greeks fought the Turks to get them out of Greece, he was allegedly transporting drugs in his ships. That's how he made his money. We had the Greeks that got into the airline business, Olympic Airlines. Now there was a problem in Greece about, and it's documented in this movie by Kostas Grava called Z, and where there was an overthrow of the Greek monarchy, King Constantine, by the colonels, and they set up a military dictatorship and tried to sterilize, in effect, the economy, and they ended up wrecking it. But we had this continuous problem with Greece. When they did the Olympics a couple years ago, it bankrupted the country. They still can't pay for it, and it's interesting. You hear the entrepreneurs and these real estate racketeers talking about, oh, we've got to build a new baseball stadium, a new stadium. None of these stadiums around the country, and the Wall Street Journal documented this, ever get paid off. Even when they did the Olympics in Montreal, it took them 35 years to pay that off. And those of you who remember the 1968 Expo 67, and then they had the Olympics up there also. I think I've got it right. To build all that, those buildings and for that exhibition cost a fortune. So be aware of that these things don't. Where they're trying to build another stadium down in Santa Clara, California, for the San Francisco 49ers, and because the stadium that they're at. It's very windy. Those of you who've been to San Francisco and attended baseball games at Candlestick Park. And George Christopher, my great friend, my late great friend, mayor, San Francisco, ambassador, special envoy for President Eisenhower, the guy who saved diplomatic relations between the United States and Russia after the U-2 fiasco, I interviewed him about that, and I said, why don't you put a roof on the place, the cantilever roof? And he says, well, people like to be out in the sun, take their shirt off and all that. But maybe that's a Greek thing, I don't know. But God bless his soul, George has gone on to his reward. He's the guy who started a dairy, Christopher Dairy. He's the guy who started giving free milk to poor school children. Great mayor of San Francisco. He later sold out his dairy to Borden and put all his money in bank leases. And he used to tell me about the stock market. He says, when I found out that the big boys go after the bell rings at 3 o'clock in New York time, New York Eastern time, Eastern Standard Time, they go behind the scenes and rig the market for the next day. When I found that out, I pulled all my money out of the stock market and put it into leases because the bankers got to pay me. So that's what really goes on, that the stock market is manipulated, according to the late George Christopher, who became a millionaire for all of his hard work building Christopher Dairies, which no longer exists. It's called Berkeley Farms here in Northern California. Now, we have this business about don't ask, don't tell. Coming up in June this month is in the mid-30s, they had the Night of the Long Knives in Nazi Germany, and that was when Captain Ernest Röhm, who was a World War One hero and a homosexual, started the SA, I can't pronounce the German, and it was predominantly a homosexual army of about 300,000 men, pedophiles and predators and all of that, riffraff. And they were a threat to the Wehrmacht, the standing army, and there was hatred, and of course Himmler saw them as a threat to his aspirations for power, to be the chief policeman of Nazi Germany. And their conduct of rape and extortion and orgies, and it's documented, semi-documented in the film The Damned, which was done by Luciano Visconti, who himself was gay. He died recently. And if you want to understand that that milieu, the social milieu of the time in Germany, I would suggest you see the film The Damned. Now, what happened was Ernest Röhm kept telling Hitler, you're not socialist enough, you're not far left enough. And that's a very interesting thing about what they call homofascism. And I recommend the book The Pink Triangle because it's very well documented, very accurately documented, and it gets into this whole thing. And we see this here in America today, that the people who are really behind the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, who are not military, or some are military, are into porno, child pornography, international sex trade, video of spying on people in their showers at Annapolis, at the military bases. This is all documented on the web. And it came up when we had to investigate the Stephen Neri case and related cases here in San Francisco, which were connected to the San Francisco District Attorney's Office employees. But it's all there. It's like a public toilet sewer line. Incidentally, it wasn't well reported, but the public toilet sewer line in the Hall of Justice, which has the city prison and the courts and the district attorney's office in San Francisco, the public toilet sewer line broke and flooded the courts and the DA's office and or the offices in that building. And, of course, some people say, well, that's karma, finally caught up with them. But that's a lot of the corruption that goes on here in Northern California, and specifically in San Francisco. But the people who were behind the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell are into this and this prostitution also. They like to target young military recruits, and you can go to our YouTube website. It's documented. The film is called How to Seduce Young Military Recruits. And we put it in segments, and it's redacted, not redacted, but the sexual parts are expurgated, but you get the drift once you see it. It was edited very carefully because we're not in the business of titillating people with pornography. anyway, that's what's going on, and there's a lot of these videos, a lot of this stuff on the World Wide Web that targets not only young military recruits, they target policemen, they target kids in high school. There have been scandals of spy cams placed in grammar school kids, junior high school kids' locker rooms in Texas and in Maine and Boston. And so it's a horrible thing that's going on, and the media is afraid to deal with it because some of them are involved in it. So I would suggest to you, if you are concerned about this, if you have children, if you're tired of this intimidation by these homosexual bullies, you need to learn some history, and you need to stand up, speak out, and stand firm, because this thing can overwhelm you. Not only that, HUD provided it through their Community Development Block Grant Program here in Northern California, especially in San Francisco. $1,000 a day for these pedophile groups to come into the San Francisco school system and other schools to teach kids how to be gay and lesbian. And they brag about it. They laugh about it. They think it's great. And if you challenge them, they'll accuse you of the Caligula law or hate crime. So don't be intimidated. You know, you don't have to put up with this. Don't talk behind their backs. Tell them to their face. Now, June's coming up. It's Armed Forces Month, and we will be featuring, I've got to extract the long interview I did with General Berrigan, the U.S. Army, West Point graduate, Army Corps of Engineers. He worked around the country, and he was the American chief engineer on the St. Lawrence Seaway, which opened that seaway up there between Canada and the United States to ocean-going ships so those ships could come into our Great Lakes, cut down the cost of commerce and transportation. So he was the deputy commander at Normandy that built the Mulberry Bridges. It was a British invention, but he did the engineering. He was down on the beach, in effect. So a very interesting interview. He knew General Patton. He was stationed in Hawaii about the same time General Patton was. And he died in San Francisco here several years ago, but I did interview him. And then we're going to locate our complete interview we did with a British officer, Colonel Trailer, who was a part of what they call SOE, Special Operations Executive, British commando unit that was dropped into the Balkans to prevent the Balkans, and especially Greece, from the communists from taking it over. They came very close after World War II. There is a famous movie, and it was written, the book was written by a guy who was at the New York Times called Eleni, starring one of my favorite actresses. She starred in Electra. Very typical classic Greek face. Anyway, I would suggest you see that because it talks about a woman who was tortured, brutally tortured by the Greek communists. They burned her feet. They did all kinds of horrible things, and she just protected her children. She had a young boy and a daughter, and she saved them, and she died to save their lives. And the guy later emigrated legally to the United States, wrote this book about his mother, Eleni, and famous book, and made into a movie. So I suggest you see that, because art is true to life. And we'll be featuring, we're going through our music archives that we got compiled for KLW-FM and Western Public Radio, and we'll be featuring some rarities that you don't hear about or hear on the usual commercial or even alternative radio. And what else we got coming up? The other interesting things today, the court-martial of Benedict Arnold, I guess that pushed him over the edge because he felt he was being not given the full credit for all the wonderful things that he did militarily. He almost, before he became a traitor, he almost captured Quebec. When, you know, we always send up our, with one exception, our most incompetent military people to try to take Canada, and they always get their butts kicked back across the border, or they get captured. And in fact, in the War of 1812, which started today, back in 1812, June 1st, war was declared. We sent up General Dearborn, and he was captured. And what do? They name a city, Dearborn, Michigan, and a street in Chicago, Dearborn Street, for this clown. And grossly incompetent, and way in over his head. But I guess that's the way things are. I don't know who his PR people were at that time. Excuse me. So, and we'd like to hear from you. And again, go to our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, AmiCusVeritas, and we've got about 78 mini docs up there, Video Verite, I call it. And we'll be putting up more practical stuff, the new economy. It's quite interesting what's going on. And we predicted this real estate crash 10 years ago because we said, in proportion to the real estate taxes that were assessed against these properties, which were way overvalued at the time, and I said it's going to get worse and it will crash. You know, what goes up comes down, just like the Hindenburg. And none of the realtors believed me at the time, and we didn't have the money at the time to get what we wanted. But unfortunately, it's happening. And now the newspapers have covered up as long as they could. And now on the front page of the Chronicle today, the San Francisco Chronicle, saying there are a lot of short sales in these pricey neighborhoods. In fact, we were in one over the weekend, and you should see all the for sale signs. In fact, I think I'll go out and videotape that. I'll go out with the new shadow. But that's what's going on. It's probably going on in the areas across the country where you live. I just got to look around. And there are deals out there because these people got in way in over their heads. And not only that, they took out the second and third mortgages on these properties. And when they lost their job or had their work cut back and expenses increased, they can't afford the lifestyle that they thought they deserved and that they were in and they didn't want to give up at the time. So, you know, you've got to be on your toes in more ways than one these days and watch your wallet. And, of course, the Reverend Ike had some good advice, even though he was a hustler, that the best thing for people, for the poor, is not to be one of them. And the people who thought that they could have this lifestyle are now facing poverty or in poverty and with this new health care. Incidentally, in 1911, the first group insurance plan was a plan was issued, or insurance policy. So we've got to, people have got to be aware that all these things that have happened in the past relate to what's going on now. And so you got to stay ahead of the curve if you're going to survive. And so we'll be putting up more of the practical information, things I did for the Haight-Ashbury switchboard, a book, a little pamphlet I put out, How to Live Like a Tycoon on the Resources of a Pauper. And it's just buying smart and living well, in effect. But these things are changing, and you've got to stay ahead of the curve and also protect your rights at the ballot box, because the money that's coming into these cities for poverty programs, housing, employment, go to their political buddies and their families, and these people are, some of them are not only double-dipping, but triple-dipping, and we will document some of that because we have the documents. And not only that, be aware that if you're working for one of these nonprofits or you know somebody that is, or one of these organizations that gets federal money, be aware that at least one organization connected to this Juan Pifre, what they were doing, they were taking the withholding out of their employees' checks, not remitting the insurance money, the Social Security deductions, the income tax deductions, were not remitting them to the IRS, and consequently there were liens placed against the organization. And then when these people went to apply for a disability and all of that, the state insurance disability, they found that the premiums hadn't been paid. So, you know, be aware. Ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you. And we'll end with one of my favorite, our usual, because it's all about politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Say, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace Bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
It's Peter Paul Brizola, working with the New Shadow. Thank you for listening, and tune in Thursday.